The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. It's a critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We continue on plowing through the doctrine of the USA and prophecy this evening. We are in Roman numeral 9, page 3 of our notes, so you can turn there in preparation. And again, as our custom before every Bible class, we'll give you opportunity to make sure that you truly profit from the study at hand this evening, rightly dividing the word of truth. And there is only one applicable way to do so in the eyes of God, and that is through the filling of God the Holy Spirit in His role in regards to leading us and guiding us and directing us to all truth in this matter. Personal sin gets us out of fellowship. How we get back into fellowship under the filling of God the Holy Spirit, as we know, is a rebound technique. 1 John 1:9, that is mechanics given to us to be filled with God the Holy Spirit. 1 John is written to believers, for believers, for that very reason. Bible is definitely supernatural in that aspect, and that is to understand the spiritual concepts and not to distort it in any fashion. One must overcome the flesh, that is your brain computer, your human intellect, and rely upon God the Holy Spirit with your human intellect to therefore, in isolation of the sin nature, perceive these things undistorted and in harmony in regards to the very author of Scriptures themselves, God the Holy Spirit. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with a normal word of prayer. Father, again, thank you for your many grace and mercies. We ask once again this evening that God the Holy Spirit will enlighten us to the truth and the matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Pressing on here in the doctrine of the United States and prophecy. Obviously, there is a lot of joining doctrine that is compiled into this doctrine. It definitely takes a frame of reference to truly dissect and understand the interpretation that we propose in regards to this particular doctrine, not the least of which is that there are definite major players, world stage players in the last days, that is exposed in the book of Daniel, and that the United States, along with Great Britain and Russia, Chinese Communist Confederation, are part of that, the Western EU, European Union, which will become the revived Roman Empire under the Antichrist. These things are all in play. And the disposition of these particular players are brought out in prophecy under the dual fulfillment of interpretation, where prophecy not only addresses near fulfillment as it would be in regards to the codex entities that represent the U.S., Babylon and Edom, that those prophecies are not only fulfilled historically near Babylon, 586 B.C., in regards to the southern kingdom of Judah, but also has a remote fulfillment or far-reaching fulfillment. We've noticed the contrasting language that is ascribed to this prophetic Babylon, a mystery Babylon, as it's often referred to, with a specific reference to Revelation 17 and 18 in that vein, that there are prophecies that are ascribed to this prophetic Babylon that were not part of the reality in regards to the historical Babylon. Obviously, that gives the enemies of Scripture a reason to come in and condemn the Bible. See, the Bible's not accurate. It doesn't know what it's talking about. Well, unfortunately, you don't know how to interpret. So, you know, the problem is not the Bible. The problem is the individual under negative volition who despises the Word of God, despises the truth. And one of the very reasons why we are in the boat we are in regards to our society today, that our country has taken a turn in that direction in a great way, and people therefore fail to understand and be oriented in regards to the very time of which they live. That prophecy provides for us with the insight, and especially today in the last days, under the global erosion and national erosion that we are seeing around us, and as they play into fulfillment of God's plan otherwise, it all is designed to usher in, obviously, the tribulational period, Daniel's 70th week, with the last half being the great tribulational period, and the ultimate return of Jesus Christ in the second advent, not to dismiss his return in the rapture that occurs right before, or is the doorway going into Daniel's 70th week from the church age, where the church will be raised up to meet him in the clouds in the air and reside with him for that next 7 years and return with him at the second advent, of which he will establish his millennial kingdom after he conquers his enemies. So anyway, there's a lot of it. As I stated, there's a lot of other doctrine that can be plugged into this and is plugged into this. Part of the insight that we can gain here in regards to review of this doctrine from when we did in Revelation is the additional entity that is prophetic, referring to the United States, that is seen to be parallel to or conjoined with Babylon, which is the dominant code name for this mysterious or prophetic Babylon in the last days. What is little understood, referenced, if not little understood by many, and the reason is because there's probably not a lot of occasion to refer to it. But what is little understood is that when Babylon came in and conquered the southern kingdom of Judah and destroyed Jerusalem in that vein in 586 B.C., that Edom, the country Edom, joined themselves or allied themselves and was part of the destroying forces in regards to Jerusalem. So Edom, in that vein, is viewed as being, in one way, in one sense, politically aligned with Babylon, co-joined in that regards. But obviously, as a country, it remains distinct in regards to their nature as a peoples and as a race. And there are prophecies concerning Edom that it cannot go unnoticed, that has an uncanny similarity and parallels in regards to Babylon itself and its prophecies. And so Edom and Babylon are designed to be viewed as one and the same, but yet distinct in their arms of representation. And that is that prophetic Edom is designed to here to highlight the spiritual degeneration of the United States that's incorporated then into its national, political, economic reputation. Edom, in that regards, infuses the religious arm of Babel in effect, even though we recognize that religious Babylon prophetically remains distinct in regards to its entity as a religious organization, that being Roman Catholicism of Revelation 17. So Edom, what Edom does, it invokes its namesake, that is none other than Esau. And as we know, Esau sold his birthright, and he typifies one then that is born with a great spiritual heritage laid in his lap, essentially, by the grace of God. And he comes then to, under negative volition, to despise and abandon the Lord who provided it. And ultimately it becomes an object of God's hatred and wrath, as the scripture tells us clearly. God says, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. And this represents the spiritual temperature or the spiritual disposition as a whole in regards to the prophetic Babylon in view, or prophetic Eden in view, that is the United States of America. And that is, it looks at the foundation of our country, initiated on biblical principle, with great spiritual heritage in that respect. And over time, God has blessed us immensely because of that. And we have seen an expansion, etc., in regards to our economy, in terms of our agriculture, all these things over the years. We have seen great blessings, but over the last about half century or so, obviously, it's happened in increments. It doesn't happen as a whole. There has been a radical decline spiritually in regards to our country in terms of its ethics, politically, internationally, etc., not the least of which is providing the real estate to house the United Nations building as an underwriter in regards to a one world religious or one world political order under the auspices of the UN. And therefore, when that turn came around, our country then, in attacking the divine institution of nationalism through increments and over time, and now we're seeing where we're at today, it has in turn attacked the other divine institutions, family, right man, right woman, and ultimately volition in regards to the government of the peoples under their charge. And we have gone into a tailspin spiritually. The whole division of the country reflects it. It evidences it. God is giving this country wake-up calls, but who will adhere? I'm here to propose to you that there will be no great revival. There will be no great turnaround in regards to our country because it's prophesied otherwise. People, the choice is up for the individual. Then what will they do as an individual in regards to the things that are going on as we exist? And another aspect of the doctrine that's involved in all this is that the temperature of the church today in the latter part of the church age dispensation, the Laodicean period, as it's so referred to in the book of Revelation, is in a state of lukewarmness. It's kind of interesting. I got an email from somebody that listens to our or reads our website, and we've changed our website. We're updating it. We're in the process of it. And the words were, good God, what's happened to your, quote, Spartan approach, end quote, with your sound exegesis or great exegesis in regards to your website? Had you gone fluffo like the rest of everybody in this world? You know, obviously somebody just jumped off the knee-jerk reaction. But we do set ourselves apart as a church in this regards, and it reflects the very attitude and temperature in regards to the church today of being lukewarm, that we are unique along with, and we're not the only ones out there, but along with other ice churches that approach the scripture verse by verse like it should be in this vein. And this is the prescription given for those living in the Laodicean period to escape the spiritual dereliction that's attributed to the church universally, the church universal, by adhering and getting in touch with sound Bible doctrine, as a sound adjusted local church, and pulling their spiritual bacon out of the fire for themselves in that respect. But anyway, all this comes together. Eden represents this spiritual atmosphere, the spiritual demise, if you will, in regards to our society and our country and peoples as a nation. What is right is wrong. What is wrong is right. The chaos. All these things are fitting images of what Babylon means. and what repudiation of Bible doctrine brings about in regards to societies and peoples. It's all political. All of it. Yeah. They'll try to tell you it's not. But if the government's involved, I'm here to tell you it's political. The government doesn't get involved if it's not political. See? So we're dealing here in Roman numeral 9, not to lose my train of thought here too much, tying in together Edom prophetically along with Babylon in their conceptual arms of representation. And together, these two then provide a fuller understanding for why God destroys us in the fashion that He does. And that is because our level of culpability as nations, as a nation among nations, is no higher than any other nation in regards to the Christian faith. And what is right and what is wrong according to biblical dictates. So, subpoint H, Roman numeral 9, page 3 of our notes. Here, we bring out the parallels tying the two symbolisms together that include, one, both are charged with great arrogance. We've looked at these verses. What I've done is I divided it up for you to show you Babylon's verses versus Edom's, the reference verses for Edom. BP, political Babylon, BP, political Edom. So two, that's where we left off. Arrogance results in self-deception on both cases. Arrogance. Isaiah 47, 8 and 10 for political Babylon. Keep looking at my notes, and I got it right in front of me on my computer. I have habits. Isaiah 47. In terms of the arrogance and becoming self-deceived. Now then, hear this, you sensual one. This is in reference to Babylon, which has prophetic, remote prophetic fulfillments in this chapter, as we've dealt with. Who dwells securely, who says in your heart, that's in your mind, in your own thinking, is not anything sponsored by God, is self-induced. I am, and there is no one beside me. I will not sit as a widow. In other words, I'm a country that's going to be here forever. No one will destroy me. No one can take us down. We are the greatest country that's ever lived. Now, that's the attitude. Don't tell me that people don't have that attitude. Yes, they do. And it is greatly encouraged. Nor shall I know loss of children. Well, that's definitely an overstatement. The children they've lost through their wars in regards to fighting for the freedoms that people are just rolling over and giving up today. verse 10. And you felt secure in your wickedness. The demise or the dive into the evil sponsored through corporate greed known as the great merchants influencing political action the lobbyists, the special interest groups in regards to our government the money under the table that nobody wants to talk about of convincing people in the government, and people in government, to pass laws to benefit their corporation, like insurance. You felt secure in your wickedness as part of their wickedness and said, "No one sees me." Your wisdom and your knowledge, they have deluded you to think they're so smart. We can get away with this. For you have said in your heart, "I am, and there is no one besides me." Then for Edom, see Jeremiah 49:16. One of the chapters dealing with prophetic Edom. "As for the terror of you," and the prophecy against Edom here, "the arrogance of your heart has deceived you." The academic political pride. That false sense of security, that positions of power and money will bestow upon the human being, it can be taken any second. And it will be for those who reside in this country in 1 hour, one day. Don't give up on your prayers in regards to your life. God loves to take the impossible and make it possible. And when He makes a move, things can happen quick. And we've seen it in regards to even on a global scale now. That'll just really stick with us. How fast God can make things move in terms of His economy for the human race. "As for the terror of you, the arrogance of your heart has deceived you, O you who live in the clefts of the rock, who occupy the height of the hill. Though you make your nest as high as an eagle's, I will bring you down from there, declares the Lord." Our space technology and all that is associated with that in view. Obadiah 1:3. Obadiah dealing with Edom. Right after Amos, just before Jonah. "The arrogance of your heart deceived you." Again, language of same inference. "You live in the clefts of the rocks and loftiness of your dwelling place. You see in your heart, who will bring me down to earth?" As we are once again moving in the space technology arena, build up that American pride again, that area. 3, self-deception. So we saw the parallels there between Babylon and Edom. 3, self-deception leads into playing God as a nation. To play God. That's essentially what these types of people that run countries like this are doing. They're trying to play God over people. You know, private industry, the affairs of citizens can't take care of themselves. And that lie is laid upon many within the country that the government needs to take care of you. See? The problem with the government, when they make the decision, it affects the entire nation, generally speaking, or an entire state. And not everybody fits the same bill. Not everybody's on the same level. Not everybody's on the same plane in regards to the test is there. I want to make sure we didn't overrun all of our hospitals during the health crisis, as other people were dying because they couldn't get treatments. because they were forbidding people utilizing the hospitals to reserve the beds for their particular present given to humanity, whatever it is, in the crisis. And yet, after it's all said and done, yeah, we still have 1,500 beds open. No big deal. We weren't really that packed. Some of the stories that are out there are fairly mind-blowing. You almost don't want to read them because you go, how can people be so cruel, so uncompassionate? Well, you need to go back and read your history. We have a history of that as a human race, see. All right, back to this. Playing God. Playing God. That's one thing you got to be careful about as a pastor. You can't do that. You got to recognize a sheep have their own volition. They got to figure out things on their own. You give them the doctrine. You give them good counsel to the best of your ability. But you don't sit there and you don't try to play God over people. You know, the bully pulpit type of mentality. Obviously, I have authority in regards to the assembly and in regards to the decorum. Once people walk out his door, basically, you're your own individual and you do your own thing. I'll give you the doctrine, but you got to figure it out for yourself. I can't get you the prize at the banquet seat. All I can do is give you the information so you can get it if you want it. Obviously, if I fail, God will take up the slack and he'll provide for you in another way. With another person as necessary. Isaiah 47:7. All right, back here to the book again. Like I said, try to keep my mind on things. Yet you said, I will be a queen forever. These things you did not consider nor remember the outcome of them. See, people don't look at the facts in regards to things. They devise an agenda, organize it into a group, and they present their idealistic principles, but they don't give you the facts behind all this stuff. Why are certain things the way that they appear to be? Where's your research? Where's your factual substantiation in regards to these things? That's what's going on. As for us, we are trying to be at peace with all men to the degree, to as much as it's possible. Obviously, sometimes peace is not possible. But anyway. So, and then Revelation 18:7 for New Testament. To be self-deceived. How many times have we done that as believers? Self-deceive ourselves in regards to this is what God's plan is for me when it's not. To the degree that she glorified herself and lived sensually, to the same degree give her torment and mourning, for she says in her heart, I sit as a queen and I am not a widow and will never see mourning. Self-deceived. Then for Edom, Jeremiah 49:16. And we read that one. Obadiah 1, we saw 3, also verse 4. Though you build high like the eagle, though you set your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, declares the Lord. That our space technology, our military technology, and our industry in that regards is all sufficient. We don't need God. We are God. We'll tell you, Mr. Country, who you need as a ruler and as a leader. We don't like dictators, even though we'll breed our own. See. Whose business is it? That's one reason why we have such a black eye in the international community, because we have meddled in so many affairs in people's different countries that we have no business to be there. That's one area that Ron Paul, I think, had pretty accurate in regards to in his platform when he was running. Get our nose out of other people's political affairs. Let's pay attention to ourselves and the people. Take care of our own family first. All the billions, if not trillions of dollars that have been given to nations for whatever means and never truly benefit the supposed reason why it is given. And we have our own people that are poor and can't put food on the table and things of this nature. What's wrong with that picture? That's like going down the street and giving your neighbor your side of beef when your own kids don't have beans and weenies to eat. You know? Who does that? God. He'll make the choice. All right. I guess you get my drift. For both are guilty of maltreatment of the Jews. Again, our action in this arena is covered up quite a bit. I mean, because we are allied with Israel. But we have our own agenda in regard to Israel. And we've not always treated the Jews. Anti-Semitism has been on the rise over the last half century. Isaiah 47:6 for Babylon. We read that. Verses before that. I was angry with my people. I profaned my heritage and gave them into your hand. You did not show mercy then. On the age you made your yoke very heavy. Jeremiah 57:11. All who came upon them had devoured them, such as the Hitler types of this world. And their adversaries have said, we are not guilty, as we stood back for a long time and didn't intervene. In fact, as we know, now as history has exposed, certain of the industry leaders were involved in the Nazi movement from our country. Heck, I didn't even know this. After Patton had his success in Europe, he put a bunch of Nazi scientists and people under his authority to work with him. That was Patton. We left it at the patent, there would be no bear today. Not at least, not the way we saw. Of course, obviously, prophecy is going to be fulfilled. But just as a fun thing to consider. But, you know, the Fords of this world, other people involved. So, you know, our hands in there as a country. Get back to my verses here. Jeremiah 57:7-11. Because you are glad, because you are jubilant, O you who pillage my heritage. Because you skip about like a threshing heifer, and they like stallions. Living the good life, as others get trampled on in history. Verse 17. Israel is a scattered flock. The lions have driven them away. First one who devoured them was the king of Assyria. That was in 721 B.C. The northern kingdom, Israel. And this last one who has broken his bones is Nebuchadnezzar, king of Israel. That was 586 B.C. Division of the nation based on their own spiritual, their election to the northern and southern kingdoms. And both of them came under this cycle of discipline. Verse 28, there is a sound of fugitives and refugees from the land of Babylon to declare in Zion the vengeance of the Lord our God, vengeance for his temple. Some Jews will come to faith, will be adjusted, and they'll recognize the evil of our country ultimately. 33:34, Jeremiah 50. Thus says the Lord of armies, the sons of Israel are oppressed, and the sons of Judah as well. And all who took them captive have held them fast. They refuse to let them go. The Redeemer is strong. The Lord of armies is His name. He will vigorously plead their case so that He may bring rest to the earth, but turmoil to the inhabitants of Babylon. Chapter 51, verse 24. God will repay Babylon and all the inhabitants of Chaldea for all their evil that they have done in Zion before your eyes, declares the Lord. Again, the Masonic influence that's present now in Israel and in Jerusalem. Where did that come from? The evil can come in many different ways. Verses 35 through 36. And the oppression, if you will, spiritually. May the violence be done to me. May the violence done to me and to my flesh be upon Babylon. The inhabitants of Zion will say, and may my blood be upon the inhabitants of Chaldea. Jerusalem will say, therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I'm going to plead your case and exact full vengeance for you. And I shall dry up her sea and make her fountain dry. No more import-export business and Mandalay Industries. Any of you ever watched that show? Edom, Isaiah 34, 8. For the Lord has a day of vengeance, a year of recompense for the cause of Zion. For the cause of Zion. On behalf of Israel being promoted under God's economy, under God's will, and her future determined by God, not by our country. That's what our country does. It tries to determine other countries' futures so the merchants can become even more prosperous. See? In Obadiah 1, there, verses 10 and 11 for Obadiah. Because of violence to your brother Jacob, i.e. Israel, inferred even though she's in a state of spiritual maladjustment at this point in time in history. You will be covered with shame and you will be cut off forever, even. On the day that you stood aloof, on the day that strangers carried off his wealth, and foreigners entered his gate and cast lots for Jerusalem, you too were as one of them. In the influence upon Israel as we go into the tribulational period, no telling how involved we'll be in that in a negative way. Five, both are characterized as wealthy and prosperous. The envy of others, Babylon, Isaiah 13. Chapter 13, verse 17. Behold, I'm going to stir up the Medes against them, that being Russia, who will not value silver or take pleasure in gold, denoting the wealth that we hold so precious. They won't care. They have one focus in mind: just get rid of this virus, if I can use that language. Verse 19. In Babylon, the beauty of kingdoms, the glory of the Chaldeans' pride, will be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, along with all of their homosexual agenda in the last days. You have some of these interpretations that even the Supreme Court's coming up with. Civil rights bill, it can't discriminate. Of course, there's that word, based on sex. Well, they should have used gender, I guess, so people would know what they're talking about. If you keep up with things. Isaiah 47:5. But that's all right. It's just getting us closer. It's just bringing things around. revealing us for what we are. We're showing our face cards now. Verse 5, sit silently and go into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for you will be you'll no more be called the Queen of Kingdoms. Everybody wants to be an American, be wealthy. All Americans are wealthy. Even the poor Americans are wealthy, and compared to some third world countries. Even the poorest ones probably do seem wealthy. Even the homeless, you can see them walking around with cell phones. Who's paying that bill? Jeremiah 51, 7 and 13. Again, some of these... our influence with the New World Order of Babylon has been a golden cup in the hand of the Lord. The enticement of wealth to attract the negative, to expose others for what they truly are. And hence the global judgment that will come about, intoxicating all the earth. The nations have drunk of her wine. Therefore the nations are going mad. Insane. The mental health of our society and among many other societies, even of higher civilization types of societies, is like going down the tubes. So the numbers you see in that regards of people with mental health problems now, children with mental health problems. Can anybody get a clue? Verse 13, O you dwell by many waters, abundant in treasures, your end has come, the measure of your end. Jeremiah 51, 13. Then Revelation 18, 3, as we've seen there. The nations have drunk of the wine of the passion of her immorality. Kings of earth committed acts of immorality with her. And the merchants of the earth have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality. Then you have Edom, Obadiah again, 1, 5, and 6. Those two verses, if these came to you, if robbers by night, oh, how you will be ruined. Would they not steal only until they had enough? If grapes gatherers came to you, would they not leave some gleanings? Oh, how Esau will be ransacked and his hidden treasures searched out. Find the vaults where all the great merchants and the bankers and people have hidden their true wealth. It'll be searched out. If people don't find it, the radiation poisoning will. It's kind of ironic. The show on TV called American Pickers, those guys will go out and all... venues of people looking for antiques and things that people might consider worthless but are worth a lot of money. And they had a title, In Search of Rusty Gold. And you go, oh, I hope they're not unbelievers. That's what they're after. But anyway, sorry if I space out on you like that on occasion. You ought to be used to it by now. 6, both the finer defenses utilizing satellite and space technology. We've seen that. Again, Jeremiah 51, 53 for Babylon. Though Babylon should ascend to the heavens, and though she should fortify her lofty stronghold, for me destroyers will come to her, declares the Lord. And then the same language is used in regards to Edom. So, let's see here. Jeremiah 49:16. We read that earlier. For the terror of you, the arrogance of your heart has deceived you. Oh, you live in the clefts of the rock.
who occupy the height of the hill, though you make your nest as high as an eagle's, I will bring you down from there, declares the Lord. And then again, Obadiah, verse 4, though you build high like the eagle, though you set your nest among the stars. So obviously, both Edom and Babylon have far fulfillment in their prophetic roles, based on the language. 7, both have international alliances on which they rely. Isaiah 47:15. So have those who come to you with whom you have labored, who they've worked with, gone in partnership with, who have trafficked with you from your youth, they help you push your wares, push your goods. Each has wondered in his own way. There's none to save you. At the end, they will all abandon ship. International. Then that's Babylon for Edom, Obadiah 1:7. All the men allied with you will send you forth to the border, and the men at peace with you will deceive you and overpower you. Those who supposedly are our allies will turn on us. They'll betray us. People that we maybe had helped set up in the past to have a democracy type of government, to be let loose of the reins of communism or authoritarianism, etc., like Ukraine. You know, and then what are we doing? Well, you set them up, and then you abandon them. See, I was part of that conflict that started that whole regime. I'll go in, we'll help you out. Oh, sorry, we're out of here. You're on your own. Bye. We'll give you, a few of you people, the opportunity to live in Babylon for all your time and effort. Thank you for visiting. Sorry, I'm mumbling again. All the men allied with you will send you forth to the border. Verse 7, the men at peace with you will deceive you and overpower you. They who eat your bread will set an ambush for you. There's no understanding in him. That's parenthetical thought. So blind. That's what we're doing. We're becoming so blind in regards to the truth and the realities of things around us, of what's going on. People have their own lust grids, their own drives, their own ambitions. And they're blind in regards to all the consequences that are being that are going to occur as they manufacture all these new ideals and principles for society. Eight, the same nations, alliance, hate, and abandon in a time of need. We saw that Obadiah 1:7 for Edom. 2, you are greatly despised and making small among the nations. That's Edom. I did that one first. Then Jeremiah 50 for Babylon. Verse 32. There one will stumble and will fall with no one to raise him up. No one to raise him up. You, after so long, you impose upon others so much, you act so superior, after a while, people just have enough. They just have enough. And the nations have enough. They get their stomach full of it. See, they already are, but to a certain degree. And 9, both claim a superior form of wisdom, albeit wisdom that will not deliver the nation from judgment. Their technological, academical, scientific, medical advances are supposedly, you know, the highest caliber. All these things, this is what's going to deliver us. Our man-made plans is what's going to deliver us as a people.
See, that's the idea. God's thrown out of the equation now. Even though people will give him lip service on occasion.
Our medical science community, again, I have nothing against people in the medical profession.
Obviously, if you know me, you know that. However, corporately, the mainline medicine, I'll put it that way, like mainline religion,
they claim to be the best in the world, but the research and the facts show that we're not. In many areas, especially. Not across the board, but in many areas.
Isaiah 47:10. Again, I gotta get my bearings. And you felt secure in your wickedness and said, "No one sees me." We read that earlier. Your wisdom, your knowledge, they have deluded you, for you have said in your heart, "I am, there is no one besides me." Verses 12 and 13. Stand fast now in your spells. Cling to your new ideology, your new pursuits of academia, and in your many sorceries. All the demon activity that is going on in the higher echelon of governments that we're not even aware of, at least to most degree. You know, we may not be that surprised to see how much demon influence, if not possession, was actually part of the demise of this nation in terms of its government as well as peoples. A lot of things that are going on now, demon possession, oh, that's just archaic. Who believes that anymore? See? It's just a matter of you just need to give him the right drug, he'll be all right. With which we have labored from your youth, perhaps we will be able to profit. A lot of that obviously has underlying cultic activities that are involved. Skull and Bones, Masonic Lodge. Our nation was known for abundant of secret organizations at one time. And now they're so secret you hardly ever hear of them anymore. The Masons have a big role in regard to what's going on in this world. Look at the new international airport in Denver. Some of the symbols and stuff, seeing pictures of it, just it's grotesque. Some of the pictures, you know, it takes you back to Nazi Germany almost. And then some of the Masonic symbols that are involved in that. But that's another story, reserved for its own dissection and study. Perhaps you will be able to profit, perhaps you may cause trembling. That's verse 12. 13. You are wearied with your many counsels. Let now the astrologers, those who prophesy by the stars, those who predict by the new moons, stand up and save you from what will come upon you. That refers to false science that comes as part of the occult movement. Astrologers used to be big. Even presidents and presidents' wives have appealed to astrologers in history in our country. I can't think of their names right off the top of the hand, even though they were very popular, but I'm just kind of that way. You hear them, and if they don't impress me in regards to God's economy, I usually just forget about stuff like that and people's names. But anyway, he said, "Well, Ken, you could have took the time to look at that before you came up there." Well, I didn't even know I was going to talk about them, so here I am talking to myself again. Edom, Jeremiah 49:7. I mean, what can you say? There's so much available information now, so much that is so obvious that we can look at in history and past history in regards to our country.
You know, you just kind of go, wow.
Jeremiah 49:7, concerning Edom, thus says the Lord of armies, is there no longer any wisdom in Teman? Has good counsel been lost to the prudent? Has their wisdom decayed?
He's being cynical. It's rhetorical. Yeah, it has. Oh, where's it? How's it going to save you in the time of need? Let's see. How's that going to stop all those missiles that are going to zero in on you? Tell us that.
And then Obadiah 1:8. Will I not, on that day, declares the Lord, destroy wise men from Edom? Those in who are the great experts in their fields of study, of medicine, or whatever. You know, they will be destroyed. And understanding from the mountain of Esau, all those who hold to these things, that all of our hope in regards to deliverance, regards to the dilemma we're in, comes through man's own invention and creations. It has nothing to do with our spiritual disposition whatsoever. That's the typical cosmic thinking. Who cares if the church has departed from sound doctrine and is lukewarm in and of itself? That is basically why God has blessed this country so much over the years. Because the church was so prevalent and the government basically supported them. Now all that's going to the side. But that's not the problem. See, in their thinking. See, I'm playing the devil's advocate from their thought, from their side. None of that makes any difference. Who cares what the Bible says about homosexuality? We can argue that all day long. We got preachers, homosexual preachers that preach against that. Okay. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, to enlighten us these things. In Jesus' name, amen.